We've got a new phrase that I want to bring to your attention. I didn't know if I would get to that this morning. Our motto is, we are ambassadors of Christ. Where'd that come from, Troy? Is that the Royal Ambassadors? That's the RA motto. We are ambassadors for Christ. And it's kind of interesting that along that same line, the church, we're going to be focusing our attention over the next 6 months. So that we are going to be moving from the concept of Sunday school and small groups to ambassador briefings. And I'll just have to let you chew on that just a little bit. What is an ambassador briefing? Well, thinking along this line, there are challenges that are coming your direction. They are here. I'm not talking about what's coming. I'm talking about what's here. For instance, I'm going to be showing you a clip out of God's Not Dead 2. Okay? And God's Not Dead 2 basically is a story about a teacher who speaks in a civics class about who Jesus was, historically referencing. And then because of her historical reference to that, then she is being sued. And the ultimate is trying to have Christ basically kicked out of the schools. And you can say, well, that can't happen. Already has. And so therefore I'll introduce that to you. But as an ambassador for Christ, each one of us are going to have to make a decision. Are we going to be afraid to speak the name of Jesus?
Call to order. I assume Ms. Wesley understands that this board has the power to recommend any number of disciplinary actions, up to and including termination.
She does. And this board should be aware that in the event of such termination, which we would view as both wrongful and without cause, she reserves all rights of redress.
I may have a solution. There might be a way around all of this unpleasantness that would satisfy all parties. A disciplinary notice in Ms. Wesley's file stating the school board's objections to her behavior. A response from Ms. Wesley confessing the inappropriateness of and apologizing for her actions, along with a pledge not to engage in similar discussion of Jesus in the future.
I'm confident that we can move forward on that basis.
No.
Grace.
I can't.
I'd like to request a brief recess to have a word with my client. Excuse me.
Wait.
Grace, this is exactly what we were hoping for. I mean, this is the part where you say you're sorry, thank your lawyer, go back to your classroom, pick up your life, and move on.
I can't do that.
Why?
I gave an honest answer to a student's legitimate question in history.
Grace, you don't want to do this. It's the wrong decision.
Is it? I would rather stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. I am not going to be afraid to say the name Jesus.
What do you think? Can that happen? So if that can happen, we got to begin to chew on this and understand some things. I must ask the question, is God dead in America? Is God dead? You'll have to draw your own conclusions. I know what mine is, and you will hear it. This is a picture of Brandon High School. 2013, lawsuit was filed by a Muslim student because Christ was preached in assembly. I asked a politician over in West Point, I said, well, what about this suit that's there? I said, well, this poor little girl was forced to stay in an assembly in which Jesus was mentioned. Lawsuit. Come along. Court files suit against them. In the settlement, there was a fine. Excuse me. There was a fine, and along with that, they were to not speak of Jesus in school. 2014, American Humanist Association joined up with this little Muslim girl, and there was this little another humanistic girl. They threw this lawsuit, so therefore a group out of I believe it was Washington or New York, the American Humanistic Association filed in 2014. They threw this suit, and in 2015 the judge fines the school for prayer and delivering and assisted Gideon's giving out Bibles. Can this happen? America. Coming from this American Humanist Association filed in 2014, U.S. District Court Judge Crichton Reeves said in the last week's ruling that the district has since violated the policy it adopted to ensure schools conformed with the First Assembly by holding an awards ceremony, whereas a Christian reverend delivered a prayer. And again, when it assisted Gideon's in distributing Bibles at an elementary school, a preacher of the name of Jesus Christ delivered a prayer. And then in the elementary school, they passed out Gideon Bibles. And for that, they were judged. Reeves ordered the district to pay the plaintiff $7,500 for the violation in addition to attorney fees and costs, and ruled it is permanently prohibited from including prayer or religious sermons in any school-sponsored event. The order also states that if the district violates the agreement in the future, it will pay a $10,000 fine per violation to the plaintiff. You stand up and pray to the Creator of the universe, and you will be fined $10,000. What happened? One of the school officials says it puts the school district at risk to have extended its resources to defend the lawsuit. Whether or not one agrees with the law violating it is not the interest of the students in the school district, Steffi said. There are many ways students can assemble around the flag after school and on student time that are perfectly constitutional. Okay, so the fact being is this, is that yes, you can get around this. But why in the world does our government stand up and say, you can't pray in public schools? Why? I ask you the question. Is God dead in America? Have the ambassadors been silenced in America? Conclusion. God's not dead. And if I'd have had time, I'd have cut loose. God's not dead, He's still alive. Y'all know the song, don't you? Man, I've been singing it all weekend. God's not dead. Listen, folks, and those words keep ringing in my mind all over my body. God's not dead, He's still alive. He's still roaring like a lion. Amen. And so He's not dead. But the fact about the matter is, America needs reconciliation. Now, you've heard that word reconciliation. What comes to your mind? Does it really, can we really put that on the forefront of the platform of the Republicans and of the Democrats? America needs reconciliation. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to present a case for reconciliation. As we present a case for reconciliation this morning, we want to come and begin with a simple definition that comes out of I believe it was Webster. Now, you've got to chew on this. This is not a message for the lighthearted. This is not one that you can sleep through and wake up at the end and get it all. Okay? So, you got to hear some of this. Simple definition, reconciliation. If you go online or if you look up in a... the act of causing two people or groups to become friendly again after an argument or disagreement. That makes sense? The process of finding a way to make two different ideas, facts, etc., exist or be true at the same time. Now think that thing through. Two people or groups of people coming together after they've had a disagreement. Two ideas, facts, to become to be true that both exist at the same time. In your understanding of reconciliation, is that what you see, hear, and understand? I ask you. On the political front, do we need to put the terminology reconciliation? Simple act, the act of causing two people or groups to become friendly again after an argument or disagreement. When the Lord Jesus said this, "Therefore ye shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Jesus says, "Be perfect." What does man say? If it feels good, do it. If it's right for you, it's okay. Don't you hear that? Is that what is being said? So therefore, can two groups come together when one says, "Be perfect," and the other says, "Get all the gusto you can get out of life"? Let me ask you. Can "be perfect" be brought together in two people walking? All right, reconciliation, the process of finding a way to make two different ideas, facts exist or be at the same time. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." What have you got there? Can two facts now coexist together and be true at the same time? Can they? When Jesus said, "One way." So therefore, that which is brought to the table by other platforms, when Jesus said there's only one way, is there room for negotiation? Is there room for compromise? Is there room for reconciliation? The answer is, be reconciled. But is it two ways? Think about this. Pope Francis has good news for the atheists. Jesus died and was raised for them as well. His redemptive word embraces for all, not just a chosen few. "65% of Americans who claim a religious affiliation think many religions, not just their own religion, can lead to eternal life. 52% of Americans, a 52% majority, believes that some non-Christian faith can lead to eternal life." I ask you a question. Is God dead in America? I ask you a question. Do we need to put reconciliation on the forefront of all political discussions, on the forefront of all business discussions, on the forefront of all family discussions, on the forefront of all church discussions? Should we put reconciliation on the forefront? The majority is wrong. 52% of the American does not make a lie true. Majority is wrong. So what do you look and say this? We ask the question, as Amos the prophet said, can two walk together unless they agree? If we're going to be reconciled, can two walk together unless they agree? The answer there is no, you can't walk together in peace unless the two agree. There's got to be a reconciliation that occurs here. Corinthians said, do not be unequally yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:14, 18 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Can light and darkness walk together? Cannot. I ask you a question. Do we need to call on America for be reconciled? Simple definition. The process of finding the way to make two different ideas, facts exist or be true at the same time. So what is the conclusion? Is it toleration or apostasy? I ask you, based on what you heard at Northwest High School, Brandon, Mississippi, a judge of the United States under the authority of the Constitution has dictated down, is that toleration or is that apostasy? I ask you the question, is God dead in some segments of our society? Therefore, my people are going into exile for lack of knowledge. And their honorable men are famished and their multitude is parched with them. They are dying because lack of knowledge. Hear it. Comprehend it. Do it. What is a famine? What is going on in our country? There is a lack of knowledge. Listen, folks. This is happening. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Apply that to Northwest High School. Because you have forgotten the law of God, what am I going to do? I will forget your children. What is happening is called a spiral of silence. Do y'all remember the young girl in the video during the offering time? She was pretty good, wasn't she? True story now, so we're not talking fiction. But you know what she was so afraid of? If she started befriending this girl who had walked down the wrong road, that people would talk about her because she befriended a person who walked down the wrong road, and therefore she was afraid. Therefore she was silent. The spiral of silence theory is political science of mass communication, the theory proposed by the German political scientist Elizabeth Noelle Neumann, which stipulates that individuals have a fear of isolation, which results from the idea that a social group or society in general might isolate, neglect, or exclude members due to the member's opinion. Think about that. Individuals have a fear of isolation. I ask, if we speak of reconciliation out in the political arena, will we be isolated? I ask, if we speak of reconciliation in the school, will we be isolated? I ask, if we speak of reconciliation in the business place, will we be isolated? I ask, if we speak of reconciliation inside of the home, will we be isolated? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, born around 1905. He was a preacher, theologian, writer. He's the guy that associated with the group that had a plot to kill Hitler. And because of that, when the plot was discovered, he was thrown into prison. And 3 weeks before Germany collapsed, 3 weeks before they surrendered, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was hung by the neck until he was dead. Or shot, I can't remember. He was killed 3 weeks before. What did he say while he was in prison? He said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God would not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." Proverbs put it this way. Deliver those who are drawn. This is Proverbs 24:11. Deliver those who are drawn toward death. And hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, "Surely we did not know this," does not he weigh the heart considerate? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And he will not render to each man according, and will he not render to each man according to his deeds? I ask you. We say, "Oh, we don't know," but do we know? Do we know what to say? Do we know where to say it? Do we know those who are going down the wrong path? And if we say silence, well, we don't really know. God knows the motive. God knows the heart. Therefore, He is going to hold us accountable for the actions that we take. So I ask you, is it freedom of religion, not freedom from religion? See the difference? We are calling out freedom of religion, but yet people are trying to say, as Northwest, freedom from religion. And I can't remember, and I'm glad I can't remember that politician over in West Point when he said, "Oh, this poor little Muslim girl was to have to sit through and hear about the Creator of the universe. The Savior of the world." This poor little girl didn't have an option. Let me tell you, folks, we need to ask these things. Because Proverbs 24:10 says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." If you faint when you go under pressure, then your strength is small. What do we need to do as a church? We need to pray that God will strengthen us. We got to come up with it. Because we got to break the silence. Now, do you see yourself as an ambassador? Whoa, Stallone! No, that's, should we put on Brantley now? I mean, his first time here. Whoa, first day after coming into the high school, going, moving on up. I mean, middle school and moving on up. Well, are you an ambassador? Pretty good when you get put on the spot, isn't it? And brother just goes red because he thinks I'm fixing to ask him the next question. Okay. No, brother, you're okay, good. You're doing good. Ambassador. That's the reason why I ask the question. Do we need to come for some ambassador meetings, briefings? We got to break the silence. Now, how do you do that? How do you break the silence? I ask the question then, what is reconciliation? What is reconciliation? A simple definition is this. Nothing standing between you and God. I tried to break it down as that component. Nothing standing between you and God. That's reconciliation. When you are brought in, when you're reconciled to God, nothing stands between you and Him. Not mother, not father, not school, not job. Nothing stands. Or be brought back in a proper relationship with God. Maybe that's another way to put it. Be brought back in a proper relationship with God. So I ask you the question this morning. Are you in a proper relationship with God? What is reconciliation? We've got to understand this terminology. How were they reconciled? Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 29:24. "And the priest killed them," talking about these lambs, "and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offerings and the sin offerings should be made for all Israel." These lambs were sacrificed for what? For reconciliation. To the blood upon the altar to pay for our sins, to bring back a proper relationship with God. Daniel put it this way, 70 weeks are determined. Daniel 9:24. "For your people and for the holy city to finish the transgression, to make the ends to sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Reconciliation of iniquity. What is that? The payment for the bringing to a proper right relationship with God, that nothing stands between you and God. Nothing. That be sin. Hebrews put it this way. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What happened to this? So I ask you, what happened? Jesus Christ suffered for your sins so that you could be brought close in proper right relationship with God. What is the cost? Everything has a cost. What is the cost of reconciliation? Romans chapter 5 verse 10 says, "But for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we are saved by His life." What is the cost of reconciliation? What really brought you into this category? What really brought it? Right here, reconcile. It is the death of Jesus Christ. So what's the good news? There's got to be some good news along this. Stallone's jumping up and down. I want to know some good news. Okay, what is some good news today? The good news is this. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through Him we now have received the reconciliation. Scott, what does that mean to you? Joyful. Eternal life. Scott, you've been brought in a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. Now there's nothing stands between you and God, because you have been reconciled, brought together with God. Not your thoughts coming along, my thoughts, and we compromise. No, not you, only Him. Reconciliation is God. So what is the charge for us today? We're going to boil this thing down to in fast. We got to speed it up, Frank. You ready, buddy? Okay, here we go. We got to speed this up. Here's the charge for the ambassadors. 2 Corinthians, and this is where you can fill in your notes or you can come along like this. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Three absolutes. Let's get something that's absolute. Number one, new creation. Number two, old things pass away. Number three, all things are new. You've got to understand this. We're not making up with God. We're not becoming friends again with God. We're not compromising. No compromise. Two ideas agree at the same time. It cannot be your idea and God's idea. It'll never be that way. God's way is perfect. And the only thing that He accepts is perfection. And so therefore, three absolute things that occurred in your life. One, you are a new creation. The ambassador needs to know that. The ambassador needs to know that old things have passed away. The ambassador needs to know all things are new. So how does this work out? 2 Corinthians 5:17, as we continue to go through that chapter. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I want us to reemphasize this thought. We are not talking about reformation. We are talking about regeneration. Chew on that. We're not talking about reformation. No, we're not just saying, "I'm sorry, I got caught. Let's just clean the act up." We're not talking about that. We're talking about regeneration. Brand spanking new. That's the only way to be reconciled to God. And that's found in Jesus. Now all things are of God, who are reconciled to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. If we broke it down, we would need to understand these things. First of all ambassadors are ministers. Ministry equals, the understanding of the term ministry means to serve, to support, to relieve. All ministers, all ambassadors are ministers. Hey, Wanda, are you a minister? Yes! Wanda's a minister. Why? Because Wanda is an ambassador. Reconcile means exchanging coins. That's where the word came from. Exchanging coins to change one's mind to bring to God. All ambassadors are in the business of reconciliation. So, in other words, Dustin, when you go to school tomorrow, you know what your job is? You're an ambassador for Christ. Your job is to bring people to Christ. Wow! Isn't that neat? So when you go tomorrow, you say, man, it's not about this math I got to take. I don't like math. Okay, it's not about this math I got to take. But it's about being an ambassador. A higher call. That's you. That's you. All ambassadors are in the business of reconciling. So breaking this thing out. Now all things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, now all things of God, who has reconciled us Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, what does that mean? That means origin begins with God. Where did this reconciliation start with in the beginning? Started with God. With the objective to bring to Himself. God is in the business. God is seeking to bring you and me and those people we come into contact to Himself. Proper relationship, nothing in between. Through the opening of Jesus Christ. Through Christ. That is our only method. That is the only way. That is the only way. And He's using us as operatives. Wow. You have been placed in specific places. So what does that mean? We carry that on, that line of thinking on. 2 Corinthians 5:19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, that word reconciliation keeps coming back here, doesn't it? How do we break this down? God's way began with Jesus. That is, that was God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. You see that? God's way begins with Jesus. Secondly, who paid for our sins? Did you notice those words, not imputing their trespasses to them? What that means is, all of Betty's sins that she has committed, He didn't lay that to her charge. He did not sentence Betty for what she deserved. Not imputing, not laying the charge, not accusing Betty. All the laws that she's broken. Why? Because it was through Jesus Christ who paid for that. That's what happened here. Who paid for our sins. Making us ambassadors charged to share the word, and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the procedure. That's how this thing's working out right here. Now, what's this messenger? Look at it real close. 5:20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When you go to your friend's face, be reconciled to God. You know what? Many of your friends don't want to hear that. And are they going to silence you because they might isolate you? Because you said to them, be reconciled to God? Here it goes. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, meaning we're under the authority of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors. We have been sent out by the nation of the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and God speaks through us. Ooh, doesn't that ring your bell? God is now speaking through you. God is now speaking through you. God speaks to us as ambassadors with passion. In other words, we implore you on Christ's behalf. We implore you. Ambassadors have passion. Remember that young girl in the movie? She said at the end of that, she said, "I don't want to miss another opportunity." I call that passion. She had a passion. A passion about one, crying out to people that we come into contact, pleading for men to be reconciled to God. That is what he's saying. And all of this comes, now the manner of this reconciliation, it comes into this picture in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God." Here's the plan. God treated the sinless as though he'd sinned. God treated Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, as though he had sinned. "For he who knew, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." God treated the sinner as though he had not sinned. Through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ has paid for our sin, God is not treating Scott as though the sinner that he is. Because Jesus Christ died for him, God treated the sinner as though that he had not sinned. And so therefore, Scott has now been reconciled to God. Scott and God walk together. In Christ, we become the righteousness of God. That's in Christ. Now, if we try to boil it down in conclusion, Frank, that's a favorite word in Baptist life, in conclusion. Sometimes it don't mean nothing. But we say in conclusion, that kind of gets everybody interest, okay? So in conclusion right here, before I fall off this thing right here. Okay, in conclusion right here, let's talk about what's this process. For if when we were enemies, Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Here's the process. Amazing grace. Here's the procedure. How sweet the sound. Here's the preacher. Saved a wretch like me. Here's the plan. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? One of these days, old Frank's going to get up here and sing that. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. God's amazing grace. Where do we go from here? We spend a few moments together chewing on this, thinking about this. Some of you this morning may want to give your life to Jesus Christ and say, "I want to be reconciled to God. I've been away far too long." Some of you might say, "Well, look, I've sinned against God and I've asked for forgiveness, but I want you to pray with me." Some of you might be saying, "Look, there's other needs in my life. Maybe you want to become a church member." Hey, look, we invite you. Invite you. You know, God's saying a lot of things. I want you to focus on one thing, and I'm going to ask you to stand here. Let's just go ahead and stand, okay? And as we stand, I want us to just bow our heads for a moment. And then after the prayer, we're going to open up, and this is called a time of meditation, time of decision. God's speaking to you to step out as His ambassador. I want you to do that. Let's pray together and then we'll share in this moment. Father, today we ask you to reconcile our nation to God. Today we ask you to reconcile our churches to be strong in the ministry. Today we ask you to reconcile our families that we may proclaim in the ministry of reconciliation. Today we ask you to call our nation to repentance. so that our nation may be reconciled to God and clean up this mess that we created. Father, we have sinned against you. But Lord, let it not be said that I as an individual am not walking with God. For I desire my heart to be reconciled to God. And there's now nothing between me and God. We walk together. Therefore, I am a voice of God, calling out to people, be reconciled to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking you for the grace of God. We thank you for making us ambassadors of Christ. Thank you for giving us the ministry of reconciliation, that we can now go as ambassadors of Christ into the world in which we are challenged to go out and to reach people and tell them, come unto God. Don't let anything stand between you and God. And let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse from sin. And let them now walk in the perfect peace with you. It is in your power. It is in your authority. And it is for your honor and for your glory we pray. Help us, Lord, to be that ambassador for Christ. And now that we have received that ambassador briefing this morning, let us go and deliver the message. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.